بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس، من الجنة والناس. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. As we discuss the concept of self-purification or tazkiyatun nafs, we so far have said that the nafs is a connector, connecting between the spirit, the soul, and what? The desires. No, the spirit is the ruh. That is the ruh and the desire, the shahawat, shahwa. So it's a connector between the two. And last night, we saw some examples of attractions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for the human being to remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to draw him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these ornaments come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, sometimes the human being uses these ornaments to carry him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walayadu billah. And some of the main examples were mentioned in ayah number 14 of Surah Ali Imran that we discussed the previous night, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of women, speaks of gold and silver, and so on and so forth. These are the attractions. And we said that it is Iblis or Shaitan who uses these attractions which were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deviate the human being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here is something. Now that we've discussed about some of those desires, and we mentioned that it is Iblis or Shaitan who attract this human being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making him forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is, how does Iblis or Shaitan do this? What are some of the methodologies that he does to deviate the human being from the sirat al-mustaqim, from the straight path? Before we get into this, a question needs to be addressed. And that is it Iblis or Shaitan? Iblis is the name of Shaitan. His name is Iblis. Is it the Shaitan or Iblis and his soldiers that come to us and deviate us from the straight path? Or is it the human being who invites Shaitan and his soldiers to deviate him from the straight path? Because normally we say that, you know, we read that shaitan is the one who deviates the human being. But the question is it he the one who is trying to deviate us, or is it us who are calling, inviting him, opening the doors for him to deviate us? This is something that needs to be thought about a little bit here. Apparently, the human being, he can close the gates from Iblis such that Iblis cannot have any way or any means of attacking him. He can close all these gates. But when the human being starts to think, even think, of committing the ma'asiyah, Iblis and his soldiers can sense this. They can read us. Like a monitor. You know, when you see a monitor, you can see everything on the monitor. You can read it. They can read us. They can run through us, in fact, like the blood running into our veins. So the minute they sense there is something there, then they come and they start whispering. They come and they start whispering. So initially, it is us who start thinking about the ma'asiyah. You know, an analogy can be drawn here. It's like when you have garbage, only when you have garbage, then the flies, once they sense the garbage, then they start coming and they start roaming around it. Otherwise, there would be no flies roaming around anything. They can't come, there's nothing. You close the lid, for example, they cannot smell anything, so everything is shut. But when you start exposing that, then they can smell it or get attracted to it somehow, they come and roam around it. Similarly, the human being, when he starts showing off or showing signs of willingness to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the shayateen immediately come. And then they start whispering to the human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 97 and 98. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. O my Lord, I seek refuge from you, from shaitan, or the shayateen, the devils, deviating me, pushing me towards disobeying you. And I seek refuge from you, Ya Allah, that they even come to me. يحضرون means they come. I don't even want them to come, Ya Allah. That's why it is mustahab, one of the du'as to be recited after Salatul Subuh. It is found in Mafatih al-Jinan, a short du'a. It says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. This one sentence, or a few sentences. This one du'a, it is mustahab to recite this du'a 10 times after Salatul Subuh. And 10 times before Maghrib. Just before Maghrib, it is mustahab also to recite this dua. What the human being is praying for? What is this mu'min praying for? He's saying, Ya Allah, help me such that I don't fall as a prey for the shaitan to prey upon me. And also such that I don't even think of whispers of shaitan so that I attract them. Maybe they won't fool me, but at least I don't even want them near me, Ya Allah. I don't even want them close to me, Ya Allah. So it is the human being himself who sometimes opens the door for the shaitan and the shaitan enters. However, if a mu'min, for example, reading in Laylatul Jumu'ah, Dua Kumail, with sincerity, with ikhlas, at that moment, shaitan doesn't have a means to get through this person. Unless, this person starts thinking that, you know what, mashallah, I'm reading this dua, I'm here on Thursday night, I'm attending this. So then shaitan will come and say, yes, you are better than everybody else. And starts fooling this individual, this mu'min, through ujb, making himself feel that he is the better than everybody else. So only when the thought comes to the mind, then Iblis comes, or shayateen, the devils come and they start whispering to deviate the human being from the sincerity of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. Taking that away from him and then ruining his ibadah. Because shaitan doesn't come to the mu'min immediately from day one and tell him, go, for example, leave your masjid and go to, for example, breaking the laws of Allah by drinking alcohol, for example, or committing, wal'iyadu billah, zina and adultery. That's not the way he works. Step by step. Sometimes he comes to a mu'min who's praying salatul layl, and he tells him, you know what? There's nobody better than you. You're praying the salah. This is the best way of praying. You are better than everybody else. So this person starts thinking, yes, I am praying salatul layl. I'm better than everyone else. It is said, there was a abid in Bani Israel. Bani Israel, some of them, they used to do ibadah. So they used to devote themselves for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had such individuals who would go, for example, to the place of worship and they would live there. That's it. And they don't even come out. So this abid one day was in his place of worship, praying to Allah. He finds a young man, handsome looking, comes and starts doing salat. And what a beautiful salat he does. This abid starts observing the salat of this young man. This young man starts reciting salat, then crying in the middle of the salat. This abid is even attracted furthermore. After the salat is finished, this abid approaches this young man. He tells him, young man, I have been praying for so many years, but yet I have not yet prayed a salat like this. How did you manage? You're such a young man. How did you manage? He looked at him and he said, you know, it is not easy. But to achieve such a thing, you have to commit a major sin. A major sin. You commit a major sin, and after committing the major sin, that will drive you towards Allah. The feeling of guilt will drive you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence you'll start praying like this, crying in the middle of your salat, praying so humbly. So this abid looked at this young man and said, what kind of a major sin? He said, if you leave this place of worship and you go to so and so place, there you'll find a woman. Commit the sin with that woman, and that will drive you to become even better than me. So this abid gets up and heads to that address, to that woman. He knocks at her door. She opens the door. All of a sudden she finds someone that she was not expecting to have at her door. She said, what are you doing here? You have never left your place of worship. He said, I am here to commit the ma'siyah, the sin. She said, why? He said, well, I observed a man, a young man today. He came and he was crying in the middle of the salat. And he was enjoying his worship, his ibadah. So I want to also enjoy my worship and my ibadah. And he instructed me to do this. She looked at him and she said, how could shaitan fool you? This is Iblis. Don't you recognize? Didn't you recognize it? Shaitan is trying to fool you. Subhanallah, this lady is telling this abid. He looked at her and he said, how did I miss this? Subhanallah. Shaitan, when he comes, now some of us, when we hear the story or read the story, we say, you know what? This is obvious. It's obvious. But how many times shaitan comes to us and tells us, you know, this movie you're watching, it's very nice. Salat time can wait. No problem. Finish your movie and then you can go do your salat. How many times has this happened to us? How many times has shaitan told us that, you know, these Oilers are doing really well, for once they're winning. So continue watching their game until the game is over, then you do your salat and do whatever. No problem. You have so much time. How many times has this happened to us? How many times have we stayed up late watching some movie or watching something on the television, and then we sleep and we forget about Salatul Subh? How many times has this happened to us? Now, Iblis doesn't have necessarily to come in a physical form to tell us that, you know what, this is what you should do, to instruct us physically. He can come through whispers. So these are some, how many of us have been guilty of this or have committed such things? How many times has Shaitan come to us and said, you know what, your children are in need of money, you need money, so forget about paying the mosque. You know, they're asking for donation. Fine, let them, there'll be no fuel, who cares, you know, they don't have to have fuel, no problem, khalas. Imam Hussein will take care of this. That is the whispers of Shaitan, you know. So we all fall victim, we all become like this abid. All of the sudden we forget that this is Iblis. The clear enemy all of the sudden becomes the friend, or appears to be a friend. So she told him, go back. And he said, A'udhu billah min shaitan ajim. How did I miss this? And he goes back and does istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the human being, he himself invites sometimes shaitan, according to the ayat and according to the ahadith, that it is us. Once we start thinking about committing a ma'siyah, forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the shayateen immediately come. That's when they come. That's why we read in dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, that, O Allah, did you see me forgetting about you, so you forgot about me? Did you see me enjoying the gatherings of sin, wal-iyadu billah, and hence you kept me among such individuals? Did you see me distancing myself away from the ulama, and so you kept me away from them? This is me doing all these actions, me doing them all. And once I do all this, then the shaitan comes, him and his soldiers, and they start whispering to the human being. So these ayat that we recited earlier from Surah An-Nas, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and then Malik al-Nas, and then Ilah al-Nas. Three. Rab, in the Arabic language, means the one who raises, the one who nourishes. That's why even in the Quran, the word Lord, Rab, is used also not for Allah, for other than Allah. For example, Yusuf alayhi salam tells the companion of his in the prison that was going to be saved, the one who was going to go and serve the king, he told him, اذكرني عند ربك, mention me before your Lord. عند ربك, ربك, he doesn't mean Allah, he means your king, your Lord. So a king sometimes is referred to as Rab. The father of the house, in Arabic, they also call him Rabbul Usra, the Lord of the house. Because the father is the one usually who sustains, who brings and nourishes the children and the family. So he's known as Rab. Usually, the human being, even a child, when he feels lack of security, where does the child go? First thing he runs to, or she runs to, is to the parents, to his Rab. The one who is doing tarbiyah for him. Same thing, sometimes the person who feels that there is a problem in the job with his co-worker, who does he refer to? He refers to the boss, the manager, for example. He tells the manager, I have a problem with my co-worker. So he's referring to his Rab. He's seeking help from the Rab, the one who is overlooking him. So the human being, when he feels that he is in need of help, he turns to the first thing is the Rab, that nourisher, the one who overlooks. That's one. Second, sometimes he turns over to a higher authority. And that is not just the manager. For example, they might go to the mayor of the city. Or sometimes they might go to the MP. Or they might go even to the prime minister. Write a letter, for example, to the prime. That is the one who has authority. Authority. So sometimes a person resorts to someone who is not the nourisher, but the one who's got authority. However, sometimes when a person has iman and taqwa and piety, he refers to what? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah in this surah, he mentions all those three. He says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The one who is the nourisher, the one who is the sustainer, the one who is the carer, the one who takes care of the people. So when the people seek refuge in the Lord, He is the Lord. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. That's one. And then مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. He is the king of the people. So if the people want to seek help from an authority, He is the ultimate authority. He is the king. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. Glorified be He who has the kingdom and He is capable of everything. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. The king of the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, He's got the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. So Allah is the king of all kings. So if people need to resort to an authority, Allah is the ultimate authority. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. And He is what? إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. He's also the God of the people. So if people need to turn to their God, He is the God as well. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all those three. Now you understand why Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. And then from what? مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. What is this waswas al-khannas? Waswas is the one that whispers. Whispers. Al-khannas is the one that goes and comes. Goes and comes. When does he go and come? He goes when we shut the door. When we close the door, we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we reflect about Allah, Iblis has no powers then. He becomes very weak. And he leaves us. However, when we start opening the door, we say, Tfadla Iblis. We roll out the red carpet and we say, come on up. Then he starts coming. Him and his servants. It is said, some of the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, at one point they started worshipping a tree. So one of the Ubbad, these Abids that I just mentioned earlier, one of those worshippers, he thought that the best thing to do is to come and cut off this tree. To tell those people that you should be worshipping Allah. He wanted to wake people up. So he came out of his place of worship, took an axe, and headed towards that tree. On the way to the tree, Iblis met him. Iblis was standing there. He told this Abid, where are you going? He said, I'm going to cut the tree. Iblis told him, why? He said, because people are getting deviated. And I want to bring them back to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to the straight path. He said, what's it of your business? No, you go pray and leave it. Why people want to worship a tree, they want to worship whatever they want to worship, go back. It's none of your business. He said, no, this is my business. I have to guide people. So Iblis told him, fine, I will wrestle you. He said, okay, let's wrestle. He wrestled with Iblis, he won. The Abid won. He took the axe and was about to hit Iblis with it. Iblis told him, wait. He said, what? He said, listen, let's do a deal here. You know, mashallah, a deal with the devil. He said, let's do a deal. You go back to your place of worship, and every day I guarantee you that I pay you a certain amount of money. That will make you happy. Subhanallah, a person sometimes has weakness. Everybody has weakness. This Abid who was so devout, he managed to wrestle against Iblis. Iblis sensed his weakness. Money. So this Abid looked at him and said, you know what, yeah, okay, this is a good deal. Sounds good.
People are laughing. How many of us also fall a prey for Iblis? How many of us, how many people don't pay their khums and their zakat and their huquq and their sadaqat? The hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, if every rich person paid or pays his dues, his taxes, there would not be a single person starving in the world. Not a single person starving in the world. So imagine all those millions in Africa, in Asia, and other parts of the world that are dying from poverty because they don't have something to eat. All those millions, some people say, where is Allah? You know, they say, where is God? Why are there so many poor people? God is there. It is us, the human beings. It is us. You find an actor or an actress is going to having a wedding, they spend $20 million, $30 million on a wedding. And then a month later, they divorce. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the blessings. He doesn't say, don't have weddings, don't enjoy your time. No problem. But moderation, moderation. You see millions of people dying. One wedding could save maybe literally, maybe 30,000 people, literally. And you go and you spend it on this wedding. Nonetheless, so we all fall prey, just like this abid. These stories, you know, it's as if it is us. So this abid said, okay, sounds good. Yalla, no problem. I will go back to my place of worship and you pay me every day. You know, on the devil's payroll. So he started paying him every day. After a week, one day, this abid looks and he sees there is no money. Nothing. So he gets upset. He says, this devil, you know, did not fulfill his promise. So he took his axe and he said, fine, now I'm going to go and break that tree. So he heads towards that tree. On the way, he meets who? Iblis again. Iblis says, now what you're doing? He said, well, I'm coming to break down this tree. He said, why? He said, well, people are worshipping it. I want to destroy it. He said, well, let me wrestle you this time. He said, yes, I beat you last time and I can beat you again. They wrestled. This time, who won? Iblis won the battle this time. And he took the axe and was about to kill this abid. The abid told him, how come? Last time I was capable, only last week, I was able of beating you. I won. This time you won. How come? What has changed in a week? He said, your intentions have changed in a week. Last time when you came, you had sincere intentions. Your intention was purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted to guide people on the sirat al-mustaqim. You want to bring people back. This time you're angry, but not for the anger of Allah. You're angry because of what? Because the money. You didn't see the money, so you came here. Your intentions are not for the sake of Allah this time. That's why I'm able of beating you, defeating you. That is the human being, brothers and sisters. When his actions are for the sake of Allah, then Iblis has no chance of defeating him. That's why Iblis himself says, he says, if a person devotes himself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, then I have no control over this person. If a person does tasbih to Allah night and day, I have no control over this person. If a person loves for his brother what he loves for himself, truly, truly, I have no control over that person. Because if I love for him what I love for myself, if I'm willing to sacrifice the things I love for the sake of my mu'min brother or mu'min sister, then Iblis has no room to enter there. It is us who invite him. It is us. We tell him, come on in, welcome, tafadhal. And we open the big door and the big screen TVs and our internets for him to come and say, tafadhal, come on in. And we roll out the red carpet as well. Unfortunately, that's us. So what are some of the methodologies? You know, the ayah says, مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. This waswas al-khannas could also refer to one of the shayateen. said when the ayah was revealed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And when they commit a sin or oppress themselves, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Committing a sin, usually it's a crime against a fellow mu'min or another human being. I steal from somebody, or I do ghibah against somebody. Now I have committed a crime not only against Allah, wal-iyadu billah, not only have I crossed the boundaries of Allah, but I have crossed the boundaries against my fellow mu'min or the humanity. Sometimes I cross the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Like for example, a person doesn't pray. A person decides not to pray. Or a person decides not to fast. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then this individual has committed a sin between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is ظُلْمُ النَّفْسِ. That is to oppress oneself. And then Allah says, those individuals, when they oppress themselves or commit a sin, they do istighfar. They remember Allah and do istighfar. It is said when this ayah was revealed, Iblis got on a mountain in Mecca by the name of the Jabal Thawr, the mountain of Thawr. He got up and he called, Oh, Shayateen, come, we're having a convention. So they all came. And they said, our master, what is troubling you? You seem to be very troubled. He said, an ayah has just been revealed. This ayah, that when a person commits a sin, he remembers Allah, Allah will forgive him. So all our work is gone in vanity. We work night and day to deviate these human beings. And then the minute they do istighfar, Allah forgives them. Isn't that stressful? So he said, I need somebody to take care of this ayah until the day of judgment. So one of the shayateen got up and said, I will take care of it. He said, what you'll do? He said, I'll do so and so. He said, no, this is not good enough. You're not good enough for it. Another shaytan got up and said, I will do this and this. He said, no. Then another shaytan by the name of Al-Waswas Al-Khannas, he got up. He said, Ya Iblis, I will take care of this ayah. He said, how? He said, I will beautify the sin to the individual. I'll make the sin look very nice, appealing, attractive. Once he or she commits the sin, then I'll make him forget about istighfar. Make him forget about tawbah. He said, that's right. Good job. So you're in charge of this ayah until the day of judgment. That's your job. So this is the whispers of Al-Waswas Al-Khannas. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas. The one who whispers into the chest of people. This, of course, doesn't refer to literally the chest of the people. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is the hearts that are in the chest that go blind, not the eyes. People sometimes, they become physically blind. But that does not mean that their hearts are blind. And some people are, they have, their hearts are blind. Although they are physically fine. But their hearts are disabled. So that's what's referring to al min shar al waswas al khannas alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur an nas min al jinnati wan nas. It seems that there are shayateen not only from jinn, there are some shayateen from what? Humans as well, people as well. شياطين الجن والإنس. Allah says another ayah in Surah Al-An'am. The devils or the shayateen of jinn and ins, humans as well. How does shaytan attract? How does he bring people in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a couple of ways. Or so, we'll take a look at a couple of the ways. One, in Surah Al-A'raf, shaytan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ, this is verse 16 and 17, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit on the straight path, trying to deviate them from it, Ya Allah. And then, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ, I will come in front of them,
ومن خلفهم, from behind them, وعن أيمانهم, from their right, and وعن شمائلهم, and from their left. What does that mean? What does it mean that he comes from the front, the back? Does it mean physically he comes from the front, back, right, and left? No. What it means is that Shaitan comes to the human being and he tells him, you know what, forget about death. Forget about Jannah and paradise and the hellfire. You're going to be in this dunya for eternity. So do whatever you want. Khalas. Do everything you like. You don't have to worry about akhirah. And the shaitan then stops, you know. The human being, when he forgets about akhirah, then he starts committing all these ma'asi. That's why it is mustahab to go and visit the graves every now and then. The cemetery. One day they came to Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, he used to respect a young man. A youth, a young man. He used to respect him. One day they came to him and they said, you know this youth that you respect? He said, yes. They said, we think that he is a grave thief. What is a grave thief? Back in the old days, when they used to bury somebody, some people, what they used to go and do is they go, would dig the grave and steal the shroud, the kafan. So they go and sell it again. Unfortunately, not some people. That's what they used to do. Grave thieves. So they told Ibn Abbas, we think this young man is a grave thief. He said, why do you think so? He said, because we see him at night going to the cemetery. What does he do at night in the cemetery? He said, I will find out for myself. So the next day, Ibn Abbas goes at night in the cemetery and hides behind a tree. He finds this young man approaching, coming. He comes to an open grave, an open grave. He looks around, he doesn't find anyone. He takes off his shirt and he goes inside that grave. And he starts crying and he says, my Lord, have mercy upon me when I am falling all alone in this grave of mine, in the darkness. And I have no one to help me but you, Ya Allah. It is said, one of our ulama, may Allah bless his soul, from about 60-70 years ago, he used to do this. He dug a grave in his own house. And every night he would go and sleep in his grave. And when he wakes up in the morning, he says, my Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to go back to dunya again. Thank you. Because he is referring to the ayah in Surah Al-Mu'minun. When a person says to Allah, Ya Allah, send me back, return me back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. So that I can do some good deeds. Allah would say, Kalla. No, khalas. Once you have left this dunya, there is no going back again. We gave you all the time you wanted. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, you stayed in this dunya. What did you do in these 100 years? What did you do in these 60 years of yours? You had 60 years to remember Allah, and you forgot about Allah. Now you want to go back? No. So this alim would wake up and say, Allah, thank you for returning me back. So this youth, he would thank Allah. He says, Ya Allah, have mercy upon me when I'm all alone in this grave. Ibn Abbas then approached him and he said, young man, well done. So the youth got surprised. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm here to observe what you have done. And I'm so proud of what you are doing. Continue doing this. These graves then remind the human being of his akhirah. That you know what? You might think you're a young man now. You're only 20, 25, 30. But be careful, huh? Azrael, Malakul Maut, doesn't know whether you're 20, you're 15, or you're one day old. Haven't we seen people who are one day old and they leave this dunya? Haven't we seen 20-year-olds who leave this dunya? Sometimes we see it right in front of our eyes, but we forget. We think, this is not me. It's not going to be me. So that is when Shaitan takes control. He comes and he says, you have all this time in dunya. Don't worry about akhirah. And hence everybody starts doing ma'asiyah wal'iyadu billah. When a person falls into this,
he starts doing as many ma'asiyah. That's when he comes and makes a person forget about his future. From behind, he tells the person that, you know what, you have children to take care of. Remember, when you leave this dunya, you have some people whom you're going to have to worry about. So why are you paying your khums? Why are you paying your zakat? Why do you help in charities? You want to save your money so that your children who are going to be left behind you can use this money. It is said, one of the biggest regrets the human being will have after he leaves this dunya is when he sees the money that he collected from halal and haram sources, his children are spending it in the way of Allah. His children are spending it in the way of Allah. And he would say, I wasted my life gathering all this money and raising it from the haram and halal. And now my children are spending it in ways where they are accumulating all the benefits and the hasanat that I have wasted. So this is when the shaitan comes from behind. From the right hand side, shaitan would come to our deeds, through our a'mal, through our salat. When he comes to the abid, like I mentioned, he doesn't tell the abid immediately go and commit the ma'asiyah or do this. Or he comes through the salat itself. He says, your salat is so good. He makes the person thinking that his salat is the best and he forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It said one day, a man went to a place where he thought he is all alone. He said, I'm going to pray salat only for the sake of Allah. When he started doing the salat and the qunut, he heard some footsteps behind him. So he said, you know, let me prolong my qunut a little bit so that whomever is behind there watching me thinks that I am a good mu'min. So he started prolonging his qunut, doing dua, dua, dua. And then he finished his salah, he turned around, he saw there was a dog behind him. He said, I wasted my salat for not even a human being. No. That's unfortunately how the human being thinks. So that's how shaitan sometimes comes to our a'mal and tries to ruin our ibadah. And when he comes from the left hand side, that is when he tries to make the fahisha wal-iyadu billah, the sin, he tries to paint it with a beautiful color. He tries to paint the sin with a beautiful color. That, you know what, sin is a great. You have sometimes some friends, some people, they have friends, they are the ones who deviate them. They tell them smoking is good, for example. Or you can take these drugs, they make you feel out of this world. It's good for you. It is the friends. One day I had a family who came and said, our son used to pray, fast, very good, until he met with a friend of his. This friend, teenagers, he started telling him, you know what, let me take you to places where you'll have fun. And slowly he corrupted all his religion. Everything is gone. Wal'ayadu billah. Allahumma salli. It is said one day Yahya alayhi salam, Prophet Yahya, he saw Iblis, he met with Iblis. He saw him wrapping some colorful bands around his waist. He said, Ya Iblis, what are these colorful bands around your waist? He said, these are the attractions that I get the men and the women to fall for. When the woman, for example, decides not to wear their hijab, and put on their makeup and go out because they want to look good. They are basically becoming the helpers of Iblis, the soldiers of Iblis. When some men, they go online and they start luring women and fooling them, telling them, yeah, all these false promises just so that they get what they want to get from them. They are becoming among the soldiers of Iblis. They're becoming the helpers of Iblis. Even though this person maybe, he might pray, he might fast, but he forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These become rituals, things that he does regularly. No effects on his life. You have to be very careful, mu'mineen and mu'minat. So many cases we hear and we see where people come and approach us. They say, our son or our daughter used to be a good person, but online they met so-and-so. Or they met an individual who then changed their entire brain, brainwashed them. And this lady who was mu'mina, abida, all of a sudden she becomes a disobedient child. She takes off the hijab and she leaves house. This is through the manipulation. These individuals are among the soldiers of Iblis. Junud, min al-jinnati wal-nas. These are the people who try to tell the person, your parents are not important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no. What people are telling you, it's wrong. You read the Quran, you try to understand it for yourself. You don't have to worry about anybody explaining it to you. Allah is very forgiving. Allah is merciful. You have to do everything that you think is right. You're a young man or a young woman. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in Surah Al-Isra in verse number 64. Allah tells Iblis, try to deviate them if you can. And use your voice. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. With your voice. Some people, Iblis, all he needs to do is just, you know, signals to them like this. And they immediately come running after him. Some people know he has to work hard a little bit. So he says, وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ. He has knights. He has knights. There are people, Iblis, among his soldiers are knights, people on horses, which means they run fast. So these are for difficult tasks. And then there are those, وَرَجِلِكَ. There are those who walk among the soldiers of Iblis who just walk. They walk. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ. And you can become their partners. In what? In wealth and in children. By making the person, for example, earn the money through haram means. Or getting the money through halal means, but spending it in a haram way. And by having children and not raising them properly. So then they become corrupt, wal'iyadu billah. Forgetting about them. That's why it's important for every parent to spend time with his children. Spend time with them. Every day, half an hour, 1 hour, talk to them. Children really need the parents. They want to see the parent. They want to talk to him. They don't just want the money. They need guidance. They would love to spend time. So it's important. Otherwise, shaitan will take charge and will deviate. And Allah says, and give them promises. But shaitan's promises are all but false. False promises. So my brothers and my dear sisters, Iblis is indeed the enemy. Ya bani Adam, la ta'budu shaytan, innahu lakum aduun mubin, wa an'ibuduni, hadha siratun mustaqim. Don't worship the shaytan. He is a clear enemy. Yet, this clear enemy, we sometimes open the door for him to make him our friend. We invite him over. But the true mu'mineen, the true abideen, the muttaqeen, ibadallah al-mukhlaseen, he has no control over them. He doesn't have control. He himself says, my Lord, those devout worshippers of yours, I don't have control over. The hadith says, if you want to blacken the face of Iblis, of Shaytan, then fast. Fasting makes his face go black. Paying sadaqah breaks his back. Breaks his back. So pay sadaqah. So make this gauge, inshallah, increase, inshallah, tonight, inshallah. Yeah, I see now he's happy. Yeah. And then, he says, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to help the mu'mineen, to help the mu'mineen, to do amal salih, this weakens him, weakens him. But what is the bigger, the killer blow to Iblis? You know what it is? Istighfar. The hadith says, "Well, istighfar yaqta'u watina." It cuts his throat when a person does istighfar. So constantly try, mu'mineen and mu'minat, to do istighfar to Allah, to remember Allah. Because that's what destroys shaitan, destroys him. And this is what makes a mu'min a true believer, that he has no control over him. That's why you find a true believer, a true mu'min, no matter how many difficulties he goes through, and no matter what he faces in life, his faith in Allah does not even shake a little bit. Does not shake. He constantly says, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, despite all the difficulties he went through, even on the day of Ashura, to the last moment, he would raise his hand and say, Oh Allah, if this is pleasing you, then take from me as much as you want until you are fully pleased. When he was about to leave Medina, he had a young daughter by the name of Fatima al-Sughra. Fatima was ill. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam decided not to take her with him. And he left her there with Umm Salama, Umm Ayman, with Umm al-Baneen. He told them to take care of this little girl. It is said at the time when the caravan was about to leave, this girl was sleeping. So Imam Hussein did not want to wake her up. So everybody got together, the caravan got together, and then the caravan started moving. Just as the caravan started to go, this little girl woke up. She looked around and she said, Ayna walidi al-Hussein? Where is my father, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein? They told her, your father has just left. He's just left. She said, let me run after him. So she ran after him. And she managed to catch up to him. It is said she was about 5 or 6 years old. Young girl. Those mu'mineen and mu'minat who have a young daughter, try to think now of the feeling of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. A 5 or 6 year old girl, daughter of Imam Hussein. This is the granddaughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The granddaughter of Fatima, whose name is also Fatima. She came and she called, Aba ya Aba Abdullah, khudni ma'aya. O father, Ya Hussein, take me with you. He said, O my little girl, when he heard her, he immediately stopped the caravan. He dismounted from his horse. He approached her with his tears flowing on his cheeks. He hugged the little girl and he said, Little girl, O my little loved one, Ya Fatima, your father is going on a difficult journey. And you are so young, and you're not feeling well. I'm afraid you may not make it through, so stay here, my daughter, oh my little one. She said, oh father, Aba Abdullah, but you have taken with you Ali al-Asghar, Abdullah al-Radi', who is even younger than me. He said, oh my little one, that's because he needs his mother. She needs to nurse him, she needs to feed him. So that's why I've taken him. He said, oh, she said, oh my father, then leave Ali al-Akbar with me. So at least I have someone to remind me of you. He said, oh my little one, but he needs to come with me. For I need him. And he needs to support his father, Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. She said, oh my father, then why don't you leave my uncle Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas? He said, oh little girl, then who will be taking care of the caravan of your father? Who will be taking care of the women and the children? So then Imam Hussein alayhi salam comforted this young girl. He started wiping over her head. And then he took her back to the house. And then he left with his tears flowing over his cheeks, feeling for this young girl, feeling for her. I say, Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya
Fatima al-Sughra had you to comfort her. She had you to take care of her. But there was another daughter of yours who woke up in the middle of the night in Shyam. Your daughter Ruqayya, the 3-year-old, she woke up in the middle of the night crying, turning to Zainab alayhi salam, saying, Amma Zainab, ayna walidi al-Husayn? Oh my aunt Zainab, where is my father Abi Abdullah? I just saw him in my dreams, where is he? She said, oh my little girl, your father has gone in a long journey. Then all the women and the children of Imam Hussein started weeping for this little girl. When the news reached Yazid ibn Muawiyah in his palace, he said, what is the matter? They told him, a young daughter of Imam Hussein has just woken up and she's asking for her father. He said, take the head of her father to her. So they took the head, put it in a plate, and they covered it, and they took it to the tents. It is said when she looked at the plate that was covered, she thought there was food. She turned to her aunt Zainab. She said, Amma Zainab, لقد عزفت نفسي عن الطعام. Oh my aunt Zainab, I don't want food. I want my father Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. At that moment, Zainab said, oh, little girl, remove the cover from the plate. When she came, she removed the cover from the plate. Oh, mu'mineen, ya shi'at al-Husayn. Try to feel what this girl saw at that moment, how she felt at that moment. When she saw the head of her father, Abi Abdullah, on the plate, she threw herself on the head of her father, shouting, Abba ya Abba Abdullah, أبا من للنساء والأيتام, أبا من ناوى ضيعته بعدك. Oh my father who has severed your head, oh my father who will be taking care of your orphans. After a short while, they saw this girl becoming silent. Imam al-Sajjad turned to his aunt Zainab, قال عم زينب ارفعيها فلقد فارقت الحياة. Oh my aunt Zainab, remove her from the head of my father, for she has joined my father Abi Abdullah in Jannah. Zainab alayhi salam came to this young girl. She removed her. She saw that she has died. She took her, looked at the head of Abi Abdullah. قالت أخي يا حسين, خويا أنا تحيرت والله بيتامك. أخي يا حسين, look at your sister, look at the difficulties she's going through in this journey, with no one to help her, with no one to support her. That's why when they went back to Karbala, Zainab alayhi salam threw herself on the grave of her brother Abi Abdullah, calling, Akhi ya Hussein, oh brother ya Hussein, I have come back and I have brought the family, but your daughter Ruqayya was left in Shyam. Your daughter was left all alone, crying for you, weeping for you. We had to bury her all alone. I say, Ya Zainab, oh my master, but the Shia of Abi Abdullah did not leave Ruqayya alone. Every year millions go to visit this young girl of Abi Abdullah. Inna lillah
wa inna ilayhi raji'un, wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalbi yanqalibun, wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. Raise your hands for the dua. This Fatima al-Sughra, inshaAllah, through her greatness, through Ruqayya alayhum as-salam, our hajat will be fulfilled.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أما يجيب المضطر اضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر 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 إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا يا الله كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله مع محمد وآله الأطهار يا الله اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين يا الله اللهم اقض دين كل مدين رد كل غريب فك كل أسير اللهم أصلح كل فاسد من أمور المسلمين اللهم شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات غفرانا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة بتعجيل فرج سيدنا مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين في كربلاء عاجلا يا الله وشفاعته عاجلا يا الله اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى ولكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة ولتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات اللهم صل على محمد